welcome to episode 174 of the Overseas Connection. Today is June 26, 2012, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community that's gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and joining me this week we have a full and proper cast from his deathbed, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello. Ollie, I'm very ill, Greg, but I wasn't here last week. I'm taking this one word at a time. And I felt bad, so I decided to still come on the show. Even though I've just crawled out of bed from getting back from work, I might collapse during this podcast.
Whew. I appreciate you being here, Mike. I know what it's like to try and podcast when you're sick.
We're troopers, though, you know? Like, I mean, hats off to us, you know? We're just so, so hardcore. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It hurts. Also joining me this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yo. Deepest sympathies to every single England fan out there. I feel your pain.
Yes, Rich, even I felt bad for you. I saw your team go down, and I even messaged you nicely. I thought about giving you a hard time, but I was like, no, you know what? This cuts deep.
Don't worry, mate. I was getting enough of a hard time off the Italian fraternity.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. Greg, you thought, no, man, this is too far. Well, I can't just go there.
Well, pretty much, I figured his wife was already giving him a ration of shit, so I didn't want to jump on, you know?
Yeah.
That's just taking it too far.
Yeah. A ration of shit was had.
Last but certainly not least, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
What's up? I'm here. The employees of the Department of Motor Vehicles frustrating me.
Yes, as they do every American.
Nevertheless, yeah. We must forge ahead.
Yes. Question for our British folk. Do you guys have anything like the Department of Motor Vehicle over in your side of the woods?
Yeah, we have the DVLA.
DVLA,
what is that?
Driving Vegas something. Driving Vegas lass.
Awesome. Department of Vehicle and License.
Potato, tomato.
So let me ask you this. Do all employees of that that particular branch
I've heard about your
also the, suck?
No, I've heard about it. There's a number of references in family about how bad they are. They're not too bad. They can be bastards sometimes. But I don't know about you, Rich, but I don't find the DVLA that bad.
Well, you don't normally come into contact with them, do you, unless you get a new car?
No.
Send your paperwork off, you get your paperwork back.
I rang them and said I need to claim my tax back on my car because it died. And they was like, yeah, you send a form and then, nothing, no big deal really. So then, yeah, you don't really talk to them that much.
I suppose in fairness, the DMV is pleasant enough to deal with if you're just mailing stuff into them. Yeah. It's when you actually have to go into the office of the Department of Motor.
You never really have to do that.
See, I'm having exactly the opposite experience. Because I'm trying to register, so I'm not living in the state in which I am registering my vehicle. So I'm trying to do it all through the mail. The trouble is, it's this confusing pile of paperwork that makes no sense. And every person I speak to on the phone gives me a different answer as to what I am required to do. So what should have been a nice and easy put it all in the mail and wait has turned into a 2-week ordeal of exchanging emails and phone calls with barely sentient people.
That sounds very familiar to trying to, like, my dad and my mum and dad constantly get trouble for, like, you know, pension and stuff. Councils are a nightmare, bro. So if you work for the council, yay. Need a video? So they're a nightmare.
that really made no sense to me, but no, I'm just gonna let
Duke,
it go, Mike.
Duke will get that. Duke will, my mate Matt, will get whatever I just said. I can't even remember anymore. What are we talking about, video game?
We're talking video games, yes.
Wow. Okay. So, Greg, how was last week's show?
Last week's show was a...
How did you do without me?
It was a test of patience for all that that took part in the show. And probably the listeners, too, for that fact.
Okay.
Yeah. This week, we already have stepped up the game considerably, given the fact that there is no persistent echo so far.
Okay.
Oh, we got everybody here. It's the first time that's happened in a while.
Also true.
Wild.
Also true.
Wild. True. True.
Mm. Hey, let's talk video games.
Yay.
Let's do that.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so I'm almost afraid to ask, but Mike.
Yeah.
You played any games lately?
Yes. I won't go on about it, but I'm playing Minecraft still.
I should have asked, have you played anything besides Minecraft? That's the same question I'm going to pose to Rich.
But I played a little bit of Prototype 1.
Prototype 1?
Released in 2009, and you're this dude, and you basically just smash shit up. It's the makers of the Hulk Ultimate Destruction game on the original Xbox, and number two came out recently. It's not a very good game. The characters are boring, graphics are crap, story's just like, I don't care. The gameplay is the only thing that holds it, and it's and that's, you know, it's not great. It's just about fun. It's very sticky, very not very fluid. You don't feel like you've got full control. You don't feel like when you press the X and the Y button, you're gonna actually make contact with them. There's no good tactile feedback when you hit them, and it just doesn't feel very good to play in general.
Mike, this was the game that came out right when Infamous first
came
out, right?
That's right, yes. And everybody compared it to Infamous.
Right, which it was, like, completely different from Infamous.
Yeah, it's an open-world game where you can cause some destruction. That's about... And you have
that's
some,
where the similarity
some,
stopped.
Some powers, yeah. But this is, you know, I suppose this guy is a bit more darker. He doesn't really give a shit about anyone. He's a complete dick. Like, there's no reason to like this guy. He just does whatever he wants. I'm like, why would you back this guy? Why am I behind this guy? This guy's a horrible, horrible person. In Infamous, you know, you care about the character. It's cool. You got choices. The graphics are better. Feels better. Infamous absolutely dominates over this. It's a very, very poor superhero open world game. And I will carry on with it. I won't completely dismiss it because I haven't played too much of it. I like to give it a fair go. But I'm not really compelled. It's definitely of forcing myself to play if I want to play. It's not a very good distraction from Minecraft, to be honest. I've also played another game which may shock people because it's on a platform that I've never played a game on before. It's not on the PC. Well, kind of is. It's a Facebook game.
Oh, no.
I know. Last week I talked about SimCity.
Right.
And how much I'm looking forward to that. Found out today that there's a beta of the SimCity Social. So it's kind of like a SimCity-esque.
For Facebook, right.
For Facebook, yeah. And I really don't like the way some Facebook games are structured in that you got to bother your friends and stuff. And this is definitely, there's a bit of that in this, but I read up about it before I started it. And I said, it's really not that bad. Like, the only thing they trick you on, really, is sometimes you put stuff on your wall by accident, but there's a little tiny tick box that you can untick to not put it on your wall.
Okay.
But apart from that, you don't really bother your friends. And it's fun. It's really good, actually. Like, I had a hankering for a SimCity game. It's been a while since I played one. And it's definitely well made. The production value in it, it's there's a lot there, you know. It's good graphics, well presented. It's a casual SimCity. It's not hardcore at all, but it's definitely not a shoe in. Let's just release anything. They put some money into this EA, so I applaud them for that. You know, you got the usual kind of, you can buy stuff and you can buy energy, or you can just wait. Pretty much that's how they make the money. Like, if you want to buy. Right. Everything, but if you just wait or just to come back to it tomorrow, it counts when you're not looking. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised, and I don't think I'm going to play it forever.
I was just going to ask, do you think you'll continue to play it for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably play it for a month or so. you know, off and on, like literally just like a, you know, just jump on it if I'm bored or something. Nothing, it's not like an addiction or anything like that.
Now let me ask you this: how does the social kind of environments to it work? I mean, how does it tie in with Facebook? Is it just, I mean, are you creating your own little sim world, or are you like affecting other people's worlds around you?
Yeah, you can. Like friends on your friends list on Facebook randomly move in into your city, and they're not controlled by the actual friends. They're just kind of picking, or you know, friends from your friends list, and making them move into your city. And the more friends you have in your city, the better. I mean, there are like people that are not like on your friends list, you know, like just normal little people in the game. But then again, somebody on your friends list will move in, and then, you know, you can ask them to play, and you can invite your friends, and they can set up a city, and you can borrow energy, and you can borrow resources. I'm not interested in that. I'm just interested.
But could you like wage war or steal from your friends?
No. It's very friendly. It's very The Sims, you know. It's very, it's more like The Sims than it is like old SimCity. There might be tornadoes and stuff. The coolest thing that happened was a UFO crashed as part of the tutorial. And it nearly hit my city, and like there's a kind of, that's your kind of objective for the next, you know, that's your next big objective, I'm guessing. And then when you do that, you got to build a science lab on there. You got to build up to it. You got to buy the land. You got to research, get new developments, new technology. And then I reckon after that, you know, something else will happen. You know, maybe a tornado will come past or something. So there's a bit of a structure to it, and it's just you can either spend time on it or buy time on it. It's decent though. It's not bad. If you're hankering for SimCity and you can't wait for the, you know, the new one, and you don't think you're going to play it because you're not a PC gamer, then give it a go. Like it scratches the itch of SimCity game. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Facebook
excellent.
For me.
Facebook well, game for you.
I know.
Go figure.
Go figure.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The Ghost Recon Future Soldier Hub, I finished, so I think I said that last week, so, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Let's move over to, Mr. Matthew. What are you playing right about now?
So, I've been playing Skyrim, as you may have guessed.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome. I also, today, downloaded the extended cut for Mass Effect 3. And the first time I played through the ending, I was really disappointed. I said, this is just crap. It's exactly what we all thought it was going to be. Just some slapped-on video to the end to spell out everything that happened for you, and they're all going to be the same. But then I went back and played another ending just to see, and it was very different. So
interesting.
While it's not awesome, it is kind of cool that they've kind of changed, you know, the story actually is significantly different between the different endings.
Okay.
I'm still afraid that what's going to happen here is this is essentially going to satisfy no one.
Right.
And it is going to kind of compromise the vision, if you will, of the original ending.
Chris, can I ask you a quick question? And without giving any spoilers away, because certainly myself and Rich. Yeah. My question to you, though, do you feel like it does go back and answer some of the questions that we all had in terms of just some plot holes that we were kind of like scratching our head saying, well, how did that happen?
So no, right? It really doesn't.
Okay.
You know, there's still some people that show up in places and you're like, wait, how the hell did he get there? It doesn't really answer that. Okay. It really kind of just explains everything away, which is a little bit of a disappointment. I guess it kind of changes it. And I can't tell you how it changes it without really spoiling it, but it does actually change the way the game ends.
Okay.
But I'm afraid it's you know, like when they first announced they were going to do this, we all kind of said it's not going to satisfy anyone.
No.
I think that may be the case, but I don't know. Okay. We'll see what the reviews have to say.
And it is correct free.
It's
right?
Free.
Okay.
It's a good start.
So the only real annoying part about it is you do have to play through the entire ending sequence again after the final battle when there's a little bit more after the final battle, you have to play that a little bit more again.
Got it.
Which includes a lot of unskippable cutscenes and long dialogue. But I've played through two out of three endings. Maybe I'll just YouTube the third one.
Hey, who is not a fan of unskippable dialogue? Come on.
I'm not.
I don't think I could. Sorry. I've got Mass Effect now, Chris. Could Mass I Effect download? 3? Yeah. And could I download?
I would say this, Mike.
This now.
I would play it without the extended cut first.
Uh huh.
And then see what you think, uh-huh. And then go back and try it with the extended cut. I really think you should do that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that. Mm-hmm. It's not a mandatory update, is it? I don't put it in updates. It.
Well, there's a mandatory update, but you don't have to download the DLC.
Is it like a separate DLC, but free?
Yeah, it's a 1.8 gig download. So yeah, yeah, it's pretty big.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay.
That's like explosion, man, big.
Because they're all different endings with voiceover, right. That's why it's bigger.
Got it.
Damn.
Okay.
Really cool, though. In one of the three endings, you get to see the Quarian with not a mask on.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
You'll be disappointed.
Mr. Matthew, is anything else on the list?
I'm installing Ghost Recon Future Soldier right now.
Okay, so we should expect the audio quality for the podcast to dip any moment.
No, I'm not. It's installing from the disc to the box, man. I'm not doing it over the internet. What's wrong with you?
Rookie mistake on my part? Maybe.
Ignorance, thy name is great.
All right, Rich, let's talk about your games. What's going on your side of the
podcast? Yeah, I played a couple of demos first. Played Dragon's Dogma demo, because I never had a go at that. I really liked it, the combat and everything. I like this, with it being an RPG type thing, the fact that it's very action orientated. And I could actually grab onto the Griffin and ride around on it. And has everybody played the demo for this?
I've played the demo.
Chris has.
I don't think
elves and wizards and shit. You got a hard time.
Yeah, this is decent. Elves and wizards and shit. Because it's the combat's all good. I like me Dark Souls and stuff. The combat system in this is very good. I like the shooting mechanics for when you're using a bow and stuff. And it all seemed very promising. It's something that I definitely might pick up when it drops down in price a bit. Because I know there's a lot of people playing it, and they seem to be quite impressed with it. But I've got too much RPG going on at the minute, so I'm gonna put it to one side for a bit. Lego Batman 2, played that. DC Heroes as well. So
I've been hearing good things about this game.
It is good, and I was quite surprised, really, because I was hearing the kerfuffle about the fact that the characters have got proper voices in that,
right?
Yeah, and I think it benefits it. From what I played in the demo, and we had a bit of a run round in the. You get to play free play as well, and that was great fun. So it had a lot of characters in there, like Harley Quinn, Joker, Riddler, and Mr. Freeze, and numerous others.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I'm not familiar with how the voiceover is done. I mean, are they the actual voice actors from the original Batman series?
No.
Or is it just, just their kid take on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it is good. You can just send all the different characters, and you've got Bruce Wayne there playing Bruce Wayne. Then you've got him as Batman. There was numerous power-ups to the Batsuit and so on. Like, you got like a electricity power up, which worked really well, and seems fun to play. It's definitely going to be one for me to get, because I love playing the old Lego games with the lad, as it were, and I'm looking forward to getting that when it's fully released. And what else do we play? Played a bit more Ghost Recon, playing the single player. I'm enjoying that, really enjoying it. I think I'm probably about halfway through it.
Okay.
And I'm just doing it on my own. I'm not doing it co-op like I did. So, yeah, enjoying that. And what else? Minecraft, as usual. Monster Mondays, that was great fun. Apart from the fact that I got booby-trapped by Orty's monster traps and thought I was going to dry and alive. He had a load of doors set up, four doors with a pressure plate, and there was just water floating in midair. And if you walk into one of these doors, there's a pressure pad on the floor, and basically it traps any monsters that go in there and starts drowning them because this blob of water is right at head height. And he was showing me all of these other traps that he'd made. It's like John J. Rambo, man, what he set up. It was unbelievable. Some of these booby traps. But that was my little bit of Minecraft. And also, anybody heard of Manic Miner?
No.
Mike's quite young, so he might have never played it.
We had to play it last night for the indie game review.
Did you pass it on? All right. Yeah. And
it's shit, Greg.
It's not shit. This game, right?
Anyone who tells you is clearly over 30 and clearly fucked up in the head.
I'm gonna paint a picture for you, right? This was the game that got me into video games, good and proper, way back when I was 12 years old. They used to have a copy of this running in Boots store on a ZX Spectrum. And me and my mate used to go in there and play on it for hours and get shooed off by the shop assistants majorly. But it's a platformer. It's a classic platformer, and they've released it on the indie games by its Elite Software. They weren't the guys that originally did it, but they've done a nice job of converting it. And yes, it's only a small game, and it don't take up much space. But anybody that does have nostalgia for it, you will not be let down by it. If you ever played Manic Miner and you'd like to go back to it, go back to it, and you will still enjoy it. And I don't say that lightly, because I don't normally like retro games, and I normally do think that they're not as good as what they were originally. Try it out, definitely. It's got a few nice additions in there as well, because you can play with infinite lives, which is a godsend, because originally you had to go through the whole thing with three lives and whatever bonus lives you picked up throughout the game. But now you can switch it on, so you've got infinite lives and enjoy all of the levels. So, yeah, it's a good game. It's got a couple of filters on there as well to spruce the screen up. And well worth a try, definitely. What else? Adabasha Babel Rising.
Okay. This is the Kinect kind of...
No, it's not Kinect. I was playing it with a controller. It might have Kinect on it, but I wasn't using it. Yeah. So basically, it's like a god-type game where you've got enemies spawning in all the time. They're trying to build a tower, and your job is to prevent them by throwing different elemental powers at them, whatever you got at your disposal. Normally, consists of about three different weapons. And then you have like a power bar that's moving up all the time with each kill that you get. And that will unleash a big weapon at your leisure. It's very nice graphics, cel shaded, sort of in the style of Borderlands. And it's rotational. The gameplay area is rotational. So the one thing that did get on my nerves a bit was that it was a bit fast and frantic trying to find where all the guys were when they were coming from various entry points. So the rotation of it and fending them off did get slowed down a bit by going through that and trying to get rid of them. But definitely worth a try. Some people might like it. I mean, if you like your RTSs or your tower defense, it's worth checking out, but didn't quite float my boat, to be honest with you. Also tried out Joyride as well. That's an excellent little number, and it begs the question, what the bloody hell they bothered going ahead with the Kinect one to start off with. This would have been an excellent... I mean, I know there was forum speak about this being like a community game.
Right.
When it first came, you know, into the limelight, and then it got set aside for Kinect, but... It's an excellent little
It's a Mario good little kart racer.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's very good. Yeah. And
I wish they would have, when it initially came out, had given it both control schemes.
Yeah. Did you know the Kinect version? Because I've never played it. Did it have the stunt mode on that?
I believe so.
Did it? Because that's an excellent little mode as well. I was having a mess around on that today, and you get a massive open play area, and you get a certain time limit to amass as many points as you can and collect trophies that are scattered around over various jumps and stuff. And yeah, that was very entertaining. I think I'd pick this up. It's 800 points, I believe. Right. Might do that. There's okay. quite a few good offers coming up there, Greg. I think you might be talking about them in a bit.
Possibly.
Major Nelson was blurting them out today. Now, my biggest one, which I've been put the most time into on the Saturday night, was Bioshock 2. Now, we've had this before, and I've been shouted down for it and all of that. So, fair enough, whatever. I'd say now, after I've spent like 3.5 hours playing the multiplayer with two other people who wanted to play it as well, that this is an unsung hero of the multiplayer world. It is well worth checking out. If you like Team Fortress or other team-based games like that, this is well worth playing. It has got a different set of game modes to what you'd normally encounter. The maps, the weapons, the upgrades are all very extensive, so it's got longevity in it, and there was no problem getting games on it. There's tons of people still playing it. So for it to last that long, and for the game to get slated at the time as well, so there must be something to the multiplayer.
Well, as I recall, the multiplayer was decent. I think Bioshock 2, just as a game as a whole, didn't do terribly well because a lot of people felt like they really just didn't differentiated enough from the original.
Yeah, well, let's put it another way as well. I think it suffered from the Treyarch syndrome when you had Infinity Ward used to bring out the Call of Duties, and Treyarch were always belittled for the fact that everybody thought that Infinity Ward made the better games and so on. And to do such a big standout game like the first Bioshock, and then for Therapy to, because it was, if I remember rightly, it was a bit of a acrimonious parting of the ways, wasn't it? With as far as 2K games were concerned, and irrational, isn't it? Is it irrational?
I believe Irrational did Bioshock 2.
No, Therapy did too.
Sorry.
Like Irrational did one.
The first. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a bit of a. It sounded like there was a bit of grievance, if I remember rightly, when it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go, but I think they suffered from that because they did get like a press backlash on it, and I've heard really good things about Minerva's Den as far as DLC is concerned, and having played the multiplayer, I've jumped back into the single player, and it's a great game. It's got great gameplay. The graphics and everything are on par with the first one. Yes, it's in the same game world, but I love that game world, so I'm up for more of it, and I'm going to finish that, and I think I'll probably end up getting Minerva's Den as well. But the two multiplayer modes, just jumping back onto that was playing Capture the Sister and also Atom Grab. Now, you can play Capture the Sister as a team-based game or as like a free-for-all type mode. And if you think of it in terms of, you know, the one in Halo where you pick up the skull and you've got to keep it for as long as you can. And that's the objective, yeah?
Right.
It's like that. But when you pick the sister up, she goes absolutely mental and starts bashing you around the head. So it's a feat in itself, avoiding the other players and, you know, trying to see where you're going as well. But when it becomes a team-based game, it's great because you know, you've got to talk, you've got to communicate, you find an area where you can, like, hold out. You can set traps in this as well. You can also, you've also got turrets in it, which you can activate for your team, so it'll hit upon any of the opposing team if they come into the area. Also got traps that you can use as far as your plasmids are concerned and so
on. Rich, I'm gonna curtail you a little bit, because BioShock 2 is a little on the older side. I get your excitement, though. Good game, and one that you're saying.
I think it's worth uncovering things like this, though, mate, because I don't think it was talked about enough when it did come out. So if anybody out there wants to pick it up, £6 now, I think you can get it for. So.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. Instead of going back through and maybe getting meticulous about the different game modes, but to really kind of cover over, it's a great value now. And well worth going back and taking a look at. You can pick it up on the cheap. And I'm pretty sure Minerva's Den now is permanently discounted as well. So, again, it's one of those games that if you're looking for something to go into your back catalog, you're getting a big thumbs up from Rich Primrose.
Yeah. Right. So, after I've been chastised, I'll hand it over to you, Greg.
I didn't mean to bring it down, Rich.
That's what I've been playing anyway. I'm done.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Rich. All right. On my end, more Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Certainly we've covered that enough. Went back and was dabbling a little bit in Crimson Alliance. This is that free-to-play kind of Torchlight-esque game that they Microsoft put out last year. And
enjoyed. Is that the freebie one?
Yeah, it was the free one. And interestingly enough, it also was their kind of one of their first stabs at a free-to-play game, because you can pick the game up and play, I believe, up to a certain level with the warrior class, if I'm not mistaken. And so you basically can download the game and play it for free, and then you kind of have to invest into it after that. I had gotten the free version for last year's Summer of Arcade, so it's a good solid game. Very Torchlight-esque, so if you're looking for something similar to it, Crimson Alliance. You can probably pick it up relatively cheap at this point.
Nope.
or no. And then the biggie, Steel Battalion Heavy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm going to be right up front. Right up front. I'm not trying to sell anybody on this being a great game.
It hurts to laugh, but it's so funny.
Well, see, I actually will defend the game quite a bit in certain respects, and then I'm not going to defend it in a lot of other respects. So I think for anybody that is curious about Steel Battalion, if you can get the demo of Steel Battalion that's up on the marketplace, if you can get that to work properly for you, you'll be able to play Steel Battalion properly. Now, I know a lot of people, especially on the Gate forums, were having some issues trying to get it set up correctly to work for them. I'm not sure why I lucked out versus other people, but basically I was able to set it up. I got a kitchen chair, set it up, you know, in front of the Kinect camera, the proper space, and basically set it up as they kind of instruct, and it works just fine. That said, Capcom and the developer behind this game, which is From Software, the developers of Dark Souls and the previous Steel Battalion.
Pick on Dark Souls again, Greg.
I'm not picking on Dark Souls. What I'm saying is they have a track record for making very difficult games. And this game, ironically, follows suit. They made some really kind of curious choices, I think, with the Kinect control layout. And I wish they would have been, you know, for as much as they were willing to create this kind of cross adaptation of controller with Kinect controls, I think they also, maybe it was pressure from Microsoft, or maybe they just were hellbent on trying to do everything kind of through Kinect as much as possible. But I think they could have gone some better routes in terms of laying out the way the controls worked. So in essence, the gamepad controller works for moving your mech and shooting. The two things you can do with it, you can shoot your machine guns, you can shoot your cannon, you can move your mech left, right, you know, backwards, forwards, and then, of course, turn the turret, you know, aiming style. That's it. All the other buttons on the controller, completely not used. And this is where I took a little bit of exception, because inside the cockpit, you use hand gestures to actually move your view. So you'll swipe left or right to actually look left or right in the cockpit. And I think for a better control setup would have been using the left and right bumpers to move your view in the cockpit, and then allow the left and right sweeping gestures to open up the control panels, because a lot of people seem to have problems opening up and closing the control panels. And I think that would have been a much easier system to have used. And then the subsequent other button pressings, not nearly as confusing. That's just my take on the controls. It's not ideal. There's going to be times where Kinect, it's going to fight you a little bit. But overall, my experience with Kinect has not been problematic. My problem really stems more from the game being very, very difficult. In that you get thrown into the shit very quickly, and often the game doesn't necessarily do a very good job of directing you on what you need to be doing or what is going to be happening next. A silly example of this was early on in the game, there's a sequence where you get out of the mech and you are supposed to crawl towards a device to activate it. And as I'm crawling, you know, there's gunfire going all across you, and you're using Kinect to crawl. And I'm crawling, and I keep dying. Get right up to it, and I get shot to hell. And I'm like, what the fuck? I could not for the life of me figure out what I was doing wrong. I was getting frustrated, and I'm like, Kinect's not working right. You know, this is where the game is totally broken. Clearly, this is why a lot of people are getting pissed off. Then I realized, you know, through the power of observation, as I was playing through the sequence for probably my 10th time, I heard my teammate saying, stay there, wait for the gunfire to stop. And I did that, moved forward, activated what I needed to do, completed. And it was just one of those simple things that I think, in my own mind, I had built up this frustration with thinking that Kinect was somehow not working properly, but in actuality, I just wasn't listening to the game and what the game was telling me to do right, and the game was not very obvious about what I should be doing.
My mate played this game, Greg. Do you want me to run through what he told me about it?
No, not really.
Okay, so, this game is shit. It doesn't do what you tell it to do. It's shit. Kinect is shit. And then he moved on.
Well, and that's
what was his review?
That is very, very symptomatic of everybody that has had problems with the game thinks that it's Kinect.
Well, you're all wrong.
You know, I'm not saying they're wrong, because if Kinect isn't working for you from the initial setup, then clearly the game isn't going to work for you. And in that regard, yeah, the game is broken. If you can't get Kinect to recognize you properly in your setup, then that is a problem of Kinect, and certainly that has to go against the game.
The bad reviews are pretty unanimous, though. Don't you agree, Greg? Like, they're pretty...
There have been an avalanche of bad reviews, but I was listening to the OXM podcast, and they were talking about their review, and they defended it, and they gave it a 7. And they said, look, we're not saying it's a great game. It's a decent game.
So you clicked it onto the one good review.
Well, no.
I think I'm not going to let you have this, Greg.
You can try and fight me on it all you want. I've been playing the game, Mike. I've been playing the game.
You can fight.
I want to make... Can I make a point?
Yes.
Go away.
I got onto Greg about this, and I was genuinely asking him what he thought of it, because I was listening to a Giant Bomb podcast, right?
Right.
And it's all very well when you're putting your opinion across to say, yeah, this game's shit and all this lot. But they didn't actually talk about the game. If you listen to the podcast, they didn't. It's as if they refused to talk about it, and they wouldn't go into why there was stuff wrong with it. Now, I know they said they'd done like a, you know how they do quick look type thing,
right. The
video. That's all well and good, but if people listen to your podcast, tell them what the fucking hell's wrong with it, for God's sake, man.
So,
which is why. I didn't want to, you know, get on here. I wanted to know what it was with the game that was wrong, if there was anything wrong, because I didn't get any sort of clarification from them when I was listening to it.
So let me expand upon some of the other things that I felt were wrong with the game so far. one of the things I think that they decided to do for whatever reason is they use a lot of these kind of cinematic experiences, which really amount to kind of quick time events,
but gestures
utilizing Kinect.
Yeah.
And they are very kind of subtle at times. I mean, there's one point where whenever you're in the cockpit, you can actually lift your arms up and you'll see your character's hand, you know, moving in front of you, left or right, whatever character hand you have up. And it gives you this kind of perception that you can try and manipulate things because you're seeing your hand gesture. And oftentimes you'll hear them talking about a sequence of like, you know, oh, we need to start up the mech. We need to get it going. You know, we got to hurry. And so you immediately, you know, reach for the startup lever and you'll actually be able to kind of grab it and manipulate it, but nothing will happen because the game QuickTime sequence isn't ready for that to happen because it's still going through this audio that needs to play out and you have to listen to the character dialogue before it lets you start up the mech. And those, you know, can be frustrating, especially if you're thinking, I should be doing this. Why isn't it working? And again, you're going to immediately jump to Kinect being at issue. My thing is, it's not Kinect its issue. It's the developer and the way they developed the game. The way they decided to put these kind of quick-timey events into it and not really giving better direction on it being a quick-time event and not being something of, you know, hey, you're just waiting and kind of watching this unfold, and we'll let you know when you're able to activate something. So, I mean, it's those kind of things that really kind of break the immersion of the game and lead to problems with, in a sense, kind of operating things because you're thinking the whole time, why is this button not activating? Why is it not activating? And the other thing I will say is that in terms of the instrument clusters and how they spaced things out, they did a pretty poor job of that. Because, again, you have a lot of things that are very close together in a very small space, and this is absolutely one of the faults of Kinect. It's not going to operate that well when you're trying to say, you know, within 2 inches of one another, there's two buttons, and you're supposed to reach forward and press it. Kinect just isn't that accurate at this point. You know, they should have had the buttons for the different ammo types, because there's a small window that you look through as like a viewfinder. And they put the two different ammo type buttons on the left side of that window. Well, the better UI design in my perception would have been putting it on one side of the window and the other side of the window. This way it's a clear separation of where you're trying to push. But again, you know, maybe that's trying to connect a little bit of slack. I don't know. I've had a good time with the game so far, but it's worked for me. So again, I'll go back to, I'm not trying to say it's a great game. I'm not even trying to say everybody needs to rush out and buy it. I think if you get the demo through Xbox Live to work for you and you're interested in the game, then you can either take a chance on it, and you can probably find it for discount now at this point.
Wow.
You know, because honestly, the day it came out, it got discounted on Amazon for me down to $45. So I didn't have to pay full price for it. So I was happy with that. But you can take a chance on it. If the demo doesn't work for you with Kinect and your setup, don't take a chance on this then, because I think you're going to be infinitely frustrated and you will feel like you got ripped off. I mean, you have
talking,
to play the game.
Talking of Kinect and mech integration, I was reading just today, actually, that apparently they've integrated Kinect into a Mustang car. Have you heard about that?
No, I have not heard about this.
And they reckon it's going to be a big selling thing for Microsoft integrating with cars, because what they're saying is that they can get rid, as far as car design is concerned, they can get rid of a load of buttons from the center console by just doing these slight gesture controls for certain
that scares the hell out of me at this point.
Yeah? I mean,
that'd be good.
Honda's already selling that. Ford's already selling that with the Sync system. You don't need a Kinect sensor to get rid of all the buttons in the center console. You just need a touchscreen.
Right. I
don't see it happening on public roads. No.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that too, to be perfectly honest.
Chris, take your call back. Get one of these.
No, because it's a Mustang.
Oh, hey, don't slight the Mustangs.
I love the Mustang. It's a great car. The only problem with the Mustang is everybody's got one.
That's true. It has become popular once again.
I don't know.
I think they're great cars, for what they do.
I haven't got one.
Well, it's because you live in a country full of tiny cars.
Yeah.
Mazda 2 for the win.
All right. So I think we've about covered that. We can put Steel Battalion to rest.
Oh, thanks.
Battalion talk. I had time to make some beer bread.
Okay, there we go. Why don't we move on to this week's new releases?
I'm slowly dying.
Don't die. All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii, we have some games. I know, it's shocking. Wow. The Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man comes out this week.
Is he that amazing, Greg?
Amazingly, no.
No.
But, hey, he's been rebooted already. I mean, series just came out, what, like 6 years ago?
He's the guy who got dicked over on Facebook.
Man.
He's that actor.
That actor, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of other games.
British actor, Greg. British actor.
I had no good tie into that, Mike. I was trying to make the leap and I couldn't do it. But, hey, Just Dance Greatest Hits. I know you wanted this. Out on the Wii this week.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's got a game.
On the 3DS side of things, The Amazing Spider-Man comes out as well. I'm pretty sure it's going to be out on every platform under the moon. PS3 this week, The Amazing Spider-Man, of course, London 2012 Olympics.
Yeah.
Record of Argorist War 2.
You made that up. That's not real.
I did not. Spec Ops The Line.
More and more interested in this game.
Yes, so am I. Disney The Little Mermaid 2 comes out to the PSN game front.
I am more and more interested in that game.
No, you're not. Order Up, Resident Evil Chronicles HD Collection, and Uncharted Among Thieves, as well as Drake's Fortune.
Is that like a collection thing?
Possibly. They're being sold individually, though, so it's not really a collection. Let's see, demos. Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes free demo out now.
Cool.
And DLC coming out, I don't believe it's out on the PS3 yet, is The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Dawnguard, because I believe that is exclusive to the 360 for a little bit of time.
Right, on the PC, this is what Chris is playing it on.
Mass Effect 3 Extended Cut comes out this week. We already know about that. PS Vita, there's nothing. There's nothing we're talking about. Xbox 360, The Amazing Spider-Man, Just Dance Greatest Hits, London 2012 Olympics, and Spec Ops The Line.
Yeah.
Xbox Live Arcade Mini Ninja Adventures.
Could be good.
That's Square Enix, isn't it?
Could be.
That just publishes that, you know.
Yeah. DLC coming out this week. We finally see Battlefield 3 Close Quarters DLC come to the 360. And The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Dawnguard, and of course the 3 Extended Cut. Deals of the week going on over on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Is it Call of Duty week? Is that the
thing? No, it is not. Trine 2. You were interested. It reduced to 600 points, so they cut it in half. It'd be a good deal. Gotham City Imposters also reduced down to 800 points.
Joke.
Remember that game Nexus?
Nexus?
Nexus? 200 points. It wasn't good.
It's too much for that game.
Worms 2 Armageddon on sale. Shoot Many Robots on sale. And the arcade game X-Men also on sale. So
Worms 2 is a good time. So I'm
recommending that. There you go. 400 points. And that is it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright, it is that time. It's news quiz time, guys.
Yeah.
So I hope you have your news quiz hats on.
How am I sounding, Greg? Am I sounding like I'm about to die?
You are sounding like you're about to die.
Sweet.
You sound very British.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Matthew, you are up first.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be up first. Vizio announced a new streaming device to hook up to their TVs. What is its name? Is it CoStar, BrightStar, or SuperStar? And there is a game-related tie-in, I promise. Vizio, new streaming device.
Never heard of it.
CoStar, SuperStar, or what?
Or BrightStar.
SuperStar.
So let's go with BrightStar.
Unfortunately, you're wrong.
Ah, you suck.
It is CoStar.
Damn it.
Yeah, so CoStar is basically a new stream player. Looks very similar to the OnLive, dongle, if you will, that you would attach to your TV. Did I say OnStar? I meant OnLive. But is
you said OnLive?
Okay, good. But it not only gives you access to OnLive game streaming, but also Netflix and Amazon Instant.
Oh shit.
Going for the same cool price as $100 as the online device.
Everyone's trying to get in.
Yep.
Get one right now. Just kidding.
All right. Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, you remember that Dust 514 free-to-play game?
Nope.
Okay, this is game called
Dust 514. That's the PS3 thing.
Yes, free-to-play, right, okay. PS3. It's in closed beta right now.
Uh-huh.
But they have announced there is a new way to get into the closed beta.
Uh-huh.
Is it A, sign up to their newsletter?
Uh-huh.
B, register in their forum? Or C, pay $20 for the mercenary pack?
Probably the last one.
Yeah, that was kind of an easy one, I guess.
Yeah.
So CCP announced that, you pay us $20 to buy the mercenary pack, and we'll give you $20 of in-game currency and let you into the closed beta early.
Dawn Guard, the one where you get like 24 cents armor. Oh, sorry, not Dawn Guard. I'm out of the way. Dust 514, is that the one where you get 24 cents in an armor for one life?
Is that right? So you could basically load out your character for 24 cents, fully loaded out, but it only lasts for one life. So as soon as you die, all your equipment goes away. But hey, it's free to play. Remember that. All right, Rich, you are up next, and I'm going to choose a different non-PS3 question. Well, actually, it's going to be a PS3 question, but a different variety. How many members of the LulzSec, famed Sony hackers, pled guilty this past week to illegal hacking?
Two.
Okay. Again, Rich. Again. Multiple choice.
Let
the listeners play along for just like a second. Yes, it is two, in fact, that have pled guilty to hacking Ryan Cleary and Jake Davis. Dropped down and pled guilty to conspiracy to do an unauthorized act or acts with intent to impair or with recklessness as to impairing the operation of a computer or computers.
This is the big PlayStation crash there for last year, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. These were the two of the guys behind it. Ironically, there are two others that have denied to be involved in the LulzSec hacking. One is a 25-year-old Ryan Arknoid. And then a 17-year-old who is unnamed because he's a minor.
It's John.
Yeah, it's John.
John Stevenson.
Is he a manic miner?
He might be. All right. Let's see. Mr. Matthew, what is the name of the new Disney animated movie based on video game characters? What is it called? Is it A, Wreck-It Ralph, B, Bang It Bingo, or C, Jumpin' George?
I'm going to go Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
That is a good guess. Good job. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph, an animated film coming November 2nd from Disney.
Yeah.
There's classic characters sure to induce nostalgia.
Zangief's in it. Chun-Li's in it.
Yes.
Sorry, Chris. I was talking out of it. Go on.
I believe it's yes to both of you. That's how good I am.
No, it wasn't. I talked over Mike, who was actually trying to contribute to the podcast, other than which is different from me.
Well, here's the craziness.
It's good.
So,
it looks good.
Reportedly, this film is geared towards a 20 to 55-year-old demographic, and it's clearly video gamers.
Yeah.
But guess what systems the movie tie-in game is only coming to?
The Wii.
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Yeah, the Wii, the 3DS, and the DS.
You know what?
You tell me.
It's got Bowser in it.
That could be.
Okay. Can't put Bowser on the Xbox.
Done.
No, PlayStation.
You can put him on, the Nintendo, but you can't put him on the Xbox or PlayStation.
Looks like it's got Q-Bert.
Yep.
Spyro. I see some Street Fighter characters in the background. I'm looking at a movies.com article here. It's got Chun-Li and the big Russian dude.
Zangief.
The big Russian dude. Love him. All right. While Chris reads that,
I know the plot of the story. Can I explain it?
You can explain it if you
want. I don't know any spoilers. It's just basically this game called Wreck-It Ralph. It's like an arcade game. Like it looks like Rampage in the trailer. Remember Rampage? But it's a cross between Rampage and Donkey Kong, where you just smash everything and stuff. Anyway, this bad guy Ralph. He's sick of being the bad guy, and he decides to just leave the game. Like, the game's like a job to them, like, in this world. So he just leaves it, and he starts up, like, a kind of bad guy, like, association club, where all the bad guys get together. They're sick of being represented.
I've got to take James to watch this. When's this at?
November. It's It's so funny. Like, it looks good, anyway. It definitely going to be aimed at us, and I'm taking the twins to it, like, just because I just want to pretend like I'm going with them, so. And they love video games anyway, so they'll like it. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm more looking forward to this than Brave, which is the other Pixar film. And I usually like Pixar better than, DreamWorks or whatever. So.
But yeah, for whatever reason, Brave kind of reminds me of How to Train Your Dragon. I don't know why.
That was apparently good, right?
It was good. I enjoyed
it.
I watched Monsters Inc. recently, like with the twins. I never saw it before, so I watched it. And then I heard pretty much the day after that they're making a sequel or a prequel to Monsters Inc. called Monsters University, and it just looks brilliant. So I'm very excited about that as well. Now. God, okay. I love Pixar. They're so good.
They are good.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've covered the movie corner, back to you, Mike, with a question.
All right.
What is the latest firmware update for the PS3 coming this week?
Okay. That isn't me dying.
I know. That apparently just completely threw Rich for a loop.
Yeah.
Is it A, 4.10,
uh-huh.
B, 4.15, uh-huh. or C, 4.20?
Repeat them again, please.
I knew you were going to do that to me. 4.10, 4.15, or 4.2?
1.5.
PS3. Firmware.
1.5.
I'm sorry. You are wrong.
Oh.
The newest firmware update is 4.2. Yeah, and it's not doing a whole lot.
It's the Xbox update.
Yeah.
Is it background stuff? Is it just background stuff that you don't see, or what?
Well, it's gonna add some new audio options. Okay. If you're using a wireless stereo headset, you'll be able to either turn the functionality completely off, or you can select one of five different levels of intensity.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure if that affects me too much.
No, it's rather kind of dull.
Okay.
I'm hoping one of these days we're going to get a big firmware update from Sony.
I like the way it looks, though, the XMB and stuff. I like the way the PlayStation looks.
XMB is pretty slick.
Yeah.
It is pretty slick. All right. Next question, I believe it is Mr. Primrose's turn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Mr. Primrose, this is right up your alley since you just played the Dragon's Dogma demo. Clearly, you are the right person to ask this. Dragon's Dogma managed to ship how many units since its launch? Is it A, 500,000, B, 1 million, or C, 1.5 million?
10 million.
Or D, 10 million, yeah.
big in Japan, I think, probably.
Yeah, it's been in Japan.
Is it on the PS3 as well? It's
multi-platform,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Multi-platform, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take a stab at 1.5.
You're close. 1 million shipped over copies so far. Yeah. Ironically, you brought up Japan. It's done at least 330,000 sold in Japan. So
that's pretty much everyone in Japan.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, you were close, Mike. but yeah, it's done so well that Capcom has decided they are going to turn this into a franchise. They're going to continue. So yeah.
You figure that they release a new IP and all of a sudden people like it and they make a franchise out of it. What do you do more often?
Yeah, yeah. I don't foresee that happening with Steel Battalion. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But when that Kinect 2 comes out, it's going
to
be
maybe, fun. Maybe. Hey, Chris, last question to you.
Yeah.
What store in the U.S. is not carrying the new Xbox $99 two-year subscription deal? Is the store not carrying it? A, GameStop, B, Walmart, or C, Best Buy?
I know this one.
I know this. It's the furniture store around the corner from you there, not selling it.
Yeah.
Also true.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that my butcher shop is not carrying that deal. No, I'm going to guess and say GameStop.
No, in fact, it's Walmart not carrying it, which I would have thought Walmart for sure would have had it.
I love
that. But yeah, so GameStop and Best Buy now both are sporting the 4-gig Xbox 360 Kinect bundle for $99 in a 2-year contract.
Mm.
Do the math. If you want to pay the extra bones, you don't have to pay it up front.
Eh.
There you go. And that's it for the news quiz.
I was bored of my gaming. I've been playing too long. From Project Gotham to Halo, I'd even tired of Pong. But then I picked up a new game, one my friends never knew. I put a post on the forums to try to find a player too. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you, because you like a kid's game. If you play co-op games at midnight, when nobody can see, I got room on my friends list, send an invite to me. Started tending my garden, the grass had started to sprout, but I kept it all hidden, so my Halo clan would not find out. I logged into the forums to see if someone came by, and in a personal message I got a single reply. Yes, I like Viva Pinata, and I feel quite ashamed. All my friends think it's stupid, and they call me rude names. I'm up for FIBA games at midnight, when nobody can see. Hit me up for some co-op, your secret is safe with me. So I turned on my Xbox and got a new friend request. But when I heard who had sent it, I would never have guessed. It was my clanmate from Halo. And I said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment. And I said, I never knew that you like Viva Pinata. But nobody could know that you're proud of your garden and its mustachios. Just make yourself a second gamer tag to ensure privacy. But if you want those achievements, come play co-op with me. If you like Viva Pinata, but you feel all ashamed, your friends don't understand you.
Okay, so back from the break and time to dive into the community mailbag. So this week's question was posed to us from our guest last week, Shinyverse.
Yeah.
Basically, what games are you are your keepers for this generation? So even when the next gen comes, what games do you want to hold on to? Maybe if there's forward compatibility or backwards compatibility, you're going to be able to play them, or you're just going to hang on to your system, and these are going to be some games that you're going to keep.
Okay.
So what do you think? What games, Mike, are you going to hang on to?
All right. So Rockstar Games, GTA, Red Dead Redemption, Max Payne, The Orange Box, Portal 2, Call of Duty 4, Fallout 3, and Halos. All the Halos. Apart from Odyssey, I took that one back.
Yeah. Okay.
Saints Row the Third, maybe as well. And Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is a decent one. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
I'll jump in real fast. For me, the Gears of War 1 through 3, because I have the collection.
Yeah.
I've got all three, so I'll probably hang on to those just as a collection.
Definitely.
You know, I go back and forth on the Halos. I know for sure, like, Halo 4.
Halo 3. Probably, you got to keep Halo 3.
I don't have Halo 3.
You're dead
to me.
I have
Halo Reach. I know. I've got Halo Reach, and I've got the Anniversary Pack. So I've got all of the old
I've got the Anniversary thing. That's good.
Yeah. So I'll probably end up keeping those, especially since I have the Cat Helmet. I kind of have to keep at least one Halo game. Probably Skyrim. I think Skyrim will be one that I will hang on to for quite a long time.
I don't even own it.
I don't know that there's any other games that I'll like be like hard pressed.
The Orange Box. Oh, you don't like Portal, do you? Yeah, you know.
I had the Orange Box. I ended up selling it. I mean, I played Portal.
It was
good. It wasn't like I need to keep it. And I don't think any of the Call of Duties or the Battlefields or any of the shooters. The shooters these days come out so quickly, and the next best thing is on the horizon constantly, that I have no doubts that whatever shooters come up in the next gen are probably going to surpass whatever we've got right now, and I'll want to just play those. I don't have a fondness for current shooters. So even though I seem to play them more than anything else, I don't feel a loyalty to them.
But I just want to keep 4 because it pretty much changed every multiplayer game that came after it. It's such a massive, massive influence on pretty much this generation. So it's a piece of history for me. I spent so many hours in it. It's just ridiculous. So
okay, fair enough. Mr. Primrose, what about you? What games are your keepers?
Well, I'm only thinking of on this in terms of what I'll put back in the tray and play. So.
And that's...
Forget what I have on my shelf and just keep it just in case. Dark Souls, job done.
All right, Mr. Matthew, what so about sad. You?
So sad for you, Rich. So sad. What am I going to... You know, I'm probably not going to keep any of them.
Well.
The ones that are on my PC I'll keep because they'll just keep working on my PC. So that's like Skyrim and Saints Row the Third and a few others. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to hang on to any of the shooters because no one's going to be playing them anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep all my arcade games as well, because I can't do anything better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
it is going to be interesting to see how that gets handled.
I don't know if you'll be able to keep them. Like, I don't, you know, and what if they don't work on the...
I know. I'm not hopeful about that. It would be cool, but maybe not.
Yes, I mean, if they don't carry over, whatever.
I am sure we will probably see some kind of transfer licensing thing for arcade titles. So if you want to transfer some arcade titles...
It's a new system.
True. Well, it all depends on how the new systems handle backwards compatibility.
Oh.
I think it'd be a big thing.
That's a different question for a different day.
Yeah.
That's a question for several podcasts ago.
True. Or an upcoming podcast.
We discovered that most people didn't care about backwards compatibility.
Well, let's talk about what the community thought of this question. So over at LAG, we posted up the question, and we had a few responses. So Mutta Trucka, she chimed in and said, it will probably take a lot to get me to upgrade to the next-gen box. But when that happens, at a minimum, I will be keeping all of the versions of Call of Duty, Gears of War, and Rock Band.
Sweet.
Yeah. I did not realize she was such a Rock Band fan.
I don't give a fuck about Rock Band.
Yeah, but, you know, you get such a big collection of music, too, though. I kind of
get
that.
Yeah, I suppose, but...
GamerGirl27 chimed in and said, too many to list. Red Dead, Skyrim, Battlefield 3, Dragon Age, Black Ops, The Witcher, Dark Souls, Gears of War 3, etc. I only have about 20 to 25 games, so I'll take them all. And last but certainly not least, GDog79, Mass Effect Trilogy, and Bioshock 1. Done. So that is LAG. What about Gate, Mr. Matthew? What do they have to say?
Let's see. Shinyverse says, I will be holding on to the Mass Effect series, Civilization Revolution, Viva Pinata, Demon Souls, Dark Souls, and Halo Reach for certain. So you'll at least have someone to talk about Dark Souls with, Rich.
Dumb rootin' tootin'.
The Dino says, I have no particular affinity for any game franchise at the moment, but I'd like to think that whatever games I do own would be able to use on my next-gen box. Failing that, I can always dig some bread out of the freezer to play my next-gen toaster. Oops, PlayStation 4. Spitfire Ian says, I will hang on to Call of Duty and Halo games. I do like a game with a good campaign. Orty says, Minecraft?
Yeah.
Instant Dead Meat says Minecraft, Alan Wake, Tropico 4, and Tropical. Skyrim. However, I held on to some of my original Xbox games this generation and really never played them. This will probably happen next gen too. Greggy, I'll give you guys three guesses as to what Greggy's going to hang on to.
Cool.
Probably Rainbow Six. He says all of my Tom Clancy stuff. Ghost, Rainbow Six, and Splinter Cell. The geezer can't do wrong in my eyes. So he's a big fan, I think. And SLH says, I don't tend to get rid of games, but I know I'll definitely keep these. I'll want to play again. Full stop. Mass Effects, Dragon Ages, Skyrim, which I'll probably still be playing when the next gen comes out. You know, the one I was actually thinking about is the new XCOM, not the shooter XCOM.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to buy that one on the PC instead of the Xbox so that I don't have to worry about the generation thing. It's also $10 cheaper.
I can't talk to you.
Then don't talk to me, Greg, because if you don't talk to me, I can tell you about the community spotlights, right?
True.
Community play dates, excuse me. But first, we got to talk about Twitters.
And emails.
Look at me, I'm jumping ahead.
Right, Twitters jump. First, then, yeah?
Sure, why not? Twitters first.
So we had a... Device said, games aren't keeping all the Ghost Recons, all the Skates, Rock Band 3 and Beatles, Tenchu Z, Flashpoints, and Viva Pinata. God, I love the Viva Pinata as well.
Let me interrupt you real quick, Rich. We've just had three mentions of Viva Pinata in the same podcast.
Yeah.
You know what that means, Greg.
Yeah, I know exactly what that means. And you know what else that means? Underappreciated game and underappreciated song.
Yeah. It means we're going to get a nasty message from Stuart Fowler next week.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Amras89 says, all, I've never gotten rid of any games that I've bought. God's Hands, PS2, another strike for me, two words, Dark Souls. Thank you. Hardly Dan, I don't plan on getting rid of any of my games, regardless of future compatibility. The Play Vault, they said, you powered through those Skype and Pamela problems well last week on the show. Murphy's Law is a pro. Yes, and he's very cheap as well, so dial him up. Any phone box? There's a card up. Get ringing.
I just had to get you to say that, Rich. I threw that on there. Totally unrelated. All right, we had one last email, and it was put with a special request that either myself or Mike read it, and so, Mike, you drew the short straw.
Okay. This is from Mr. Bedhead, otherwise known as Gangy Crimes, otherwise known as Andrew Gould. He says, all right, fellas, not sure if this is offensive or not, but this is my ode to Primrose. Would like it if Chinny or Greg read it out, as I believe you would give it the flavour flav that it needs. I really won't tonight. Okay, El Primrose, he might not be a natural at podcasting. Smart, witty, funny, he ums and ahs through what could be said in seconds, maybe two or three. Oh, and he sleeps a lot and finds it hard to read. But he's our Primrose. From the gate, he knows his games and how much fun they can be. He's headstrong and he won't give in to the haters of Dark Souls, who think he's just silly, Chinny included, even though he's never played the game. Don't change, Primrose. You're the best there. Can be take all the time. You can take all the time you like when talking to the other three. Podcasting is not a race. I'm ill. Podcasting is not a race. Take it easy. Error Primrose from the Gate community.
Cheers, man.
Nice.
Beautiful. Oh, there's a bit of invisible text. Fuck right, you, Primrose.
Spoiler. Is that spoiler text?
Yeah.
Spoiler text.
Spoiler text.
All right. So thank you to everyone that responded. Some great responses. I think clearly there are some people within our midst that have gigantic game collections.
Yeah.
I hear about these people that I've never gotten rid of a game, and I think, good Lord, my closet would just be packed. All right. Let's talk about question for next week, which – Mr. Matthew kind of chimed in and threw in a question, which I actually think, Mr. Matthew, maybe we should throw that up there if you want.
All right, we'll throw it out there. So if you took the time to download the extended cut of the Mass Effect 3 endings and you played one or more of them, let us know what you thought. Good, bad, did you like it? Did it answer your questions? Do you still have questions? Did it bring up more questions than you had before? Do you just not care? Let us know.
Advance warning, I won't be on next week's podcast.
I'll be on, but I doubt I'll play Mass Effect 3 in time for this.
Do it, Mike. It took me 40 hours to finish it. You can do it.
I can't do it. Ow.
You can do it.
I can't.
If you don't do any side quests, you can probably do it in 20.
No, I've got to take my time.
Or if you go to YouTube, you could do it in like two.
That would be terrible.
Terrible.
Find out the ending.
Actually,
I would spend 40 hours playing this game.
It could be a great little like mini movie. You know, all the cutscenes strung together in proper order.
Yeah, I still need to finish. I never finished my my action mode playthrough. You know, where the game makes all your decisions for you.
Right.
I wanted to do that, and I decided I didn't care.
Is there an achievement for it?
Mm-mm.
No, that's why you didn't do
it. No, but someone brought up a point that I thought was interesting was if you play the game in action mode, so all your decisions are made for you, then are you not seeing what the artists intended as the way for things to play out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's an interesting point of view. Hey, speaking of other things we haven't finished yet, community play dates, Chris.
We haven't. Monster Mondays, R2 Championships, Rainbow Six Vegas 2 on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Veteran Gamers, 6 p.m. in the UK.
Yep.
Be there or be not there. GamerScore challenge still ongoing. Painting challenges are still ongoing. Congratulations to Ender 837, aka Dauntless Ansible, aka Scott.
Who's
the police car champion?
Who's winning the GamerScore challenge? Is it still PG Tips?
I'm pretty sure it's still PG Tips. Happy birthday to Sarge B, Cliffy Nader, Cisco Dog 1701, Red Toe, Blade, Blitzberg, Sentinel, and DeSaint.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Welcome to the new members, DVS1 USMC.
Hello.
Nessie Does It, and J Meister.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
And we had a community spotlight, but due to the technical difficulties of it being sent to me in an unknown file format, most likely stemming from somebody's cell phone that they used to record it, that for whatever reason Google did not want to download properly, Parsnip's community spotlight is not going to be featured this week. Possibly next week. Possibly just lost to the archives of
whoever that guy is. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. Alright.
If you do want to hear anything from Parsnip, just get yourself on Minecraft, because he's always burbling away on that.
He's always leaving me cobblestone on there.
Yeah. Little note here and there.
He was making me do stunt jumps on roller coasters the other night.
Was he?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Alright. If you want to participate in the show, like sending us an email or sending us a Twitter reply, there's some easy steps to doing that. First would be the email way. And Mike, if you were going to email the show, what would our email address be for them to reply to?
ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Easy.
Just like a professional. Look at
If you're wondering what the OC stands for, Overseas Connection.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
I know.
Even when you're sick. Hey, if you're going to tweet us and you want Rich to reply something nasty back to you.
Tweeted it.
Rich, what should they address for a Twitter to us?
@OC_podcast with an @ at the front.
Every time you say that, it almost, the way you do that, I'm thinking you're like inhaling and just holding it.
I think he's taking a dump.
Yeah, also could be true. He's constipated.
And last,
gotta get me some prunes,
Mr. Matthew. If you were gonna be maybe using the phone and wanting to leave a message,
why would you do that?
That's a good question. But you
if you wanted to do that, though, you could send it to 626-506-2763, or for the literally inclined 626-50-OC-POD from the UK. You would need to add 001 to the beginning of that, and also your entire inheritance.
Right.
Remortgage, yeah.
Or the rumors are Skype, the very, very cheap alternative for calling.
Ring free on Skype.
They should pay us for this advertising.
They should.
They should. Speaking of paying us, we need iTunes and Zune reviews. We don't get paid for them, but it does help other people find us.
Nicely done.
So if you like the show, leave us a Zune review.
Sweet.
Or an iTunes review.
I'm like a proud father at this point in time. I have a tear coming to my eye.
I feel all dirty all of a sudden.
Speaking of dirty, shout-outs. Chris, what? Go.
I'm going to shout-out BioWare because even I was very worried that the extended cut was really going to ruin Mass Effect 3. And even though it wasn't awesome, it was well handled. Overall, I thought, good job. So shout out to them. And just because I haven't in a while, let's shout out all the birthday people. Happy birthday to you. Mike.
We're having a proper meetup on Veteran Gamers this week. On Saturday, a few people are getting together to meet in Manchester. The details are on the Veteran Gamers Facebook page. I think it's too late to commit to it now because Stu had to book it. But so I'll share out that, and I'll also share out Mark Annex and Parsnip Nose who are helping me out during the My graph were telling me, Mark was telling me like what how to get a certain block, and Parsnip's always been dropping cobblestone for me and everything, so I'll share it them as well. And Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Andrew Gore, Gangu Crimes, for being so nice and sympathising with my not very commercial sounding voice on this podcast. And also, I'm going to put a shout-out to a movie, which I watched tonight. Everybody likes Walking Dead. Slightly different topic, but a film called Stateland. Anybody watched it?
No.
No? Well, if you like Walking Dead, I could be fairly safe in assuming that you like this. Yeah, Stateland. It's on Sky Movies at the minute, so on demand, play instantly. Brilliant. Try it.
Okay. I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your turn, Greg. Go. Come on. Hurry up.
I was going to be evil, and then I was reminded that my evilness was coming a little too soon. So instead, I'm going to be nice. And my condolences to England and all my brethren in the UK that were cheering on your football team. I actually was watching it at the gym. I was cheering for England.
Penalties. That always kills me.
I get it on at the gym in America.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They were covering it, yeah. I was watching. I couldn't believe it went to penalties. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Does this thing ever end? Which is what I was thinking.
Well, and the worst one, off the crossbar. That killed me.
He was playing shit all match anyway. Young. He was wank.
Yeah. Don't let an Ashley take a penalty. Two Ashleys missed. Get the message.
There you go. And that's it. We're done.
That it? Show
We're
over.
Out of here.
See ya.
Bye, boys. I'm a fool. I'm going to die.
Wait.
When or not to all the Italians.
Rich. At this point, you can just piss off, because we're going to talk about Prometheus real fast.
Right, I'm gone. Bye. Fuck you lot. I won't be here next week either if you're talking about fucking Mass Effect endings. Bye.
I wanted to add a shout out to President Abraham Lincoln, because apparently he was a vampire hunter. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Now, if only he would kill that Edward dude.
I know. But hey, no echo. That's the only thing I'm happy about.
That is my microphone. This is a new microphone.
Sound good. You sound good.
Good, good.
Aside from the cold thing.
Yeah. I sound like shit, but, you know, I'm here. Present.
Present and accounted for. Window closed. Here we go.
Picking up every particle of phlegm.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Controller.
Huh?
Put your controller down.
For me?
Yes.
I was just finishing up that cutscene. Calm down, man. Calm yourself.
Or maybe not. Mr. Matthew, are you on mute?
Chris.
Sorry. I was watching a video my wife sent me of my boys. I apologize.
Aha!
Should we back up for a second?
We can always back up for a second, or we can continue forward from here.
Well, I'm just saying you want to edit out my stupidness. Anyway,
I will be sure to edit out your stupidness.
I'm just saying, Greg.
I'm just giving you shit, but don't worry.
I have a professional podcast, and my tomfoolery is not helping. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to count to five to give you a silence so you can find this spot, right?
I love you for this. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.